I know you don't want to miss the choir singing tonight. It's, like Jimmy said, it's going to be great.
And a good news choir is singing.
And a good news choir is singing as well. So come out at 6 o'clock this evening and enjoy the time together. And also be making plans for Christmas Eve on the 24th at 5 o'clock. We always have a wonderful Christmas Eve service. So be thinking about these two events and come and be a part of it. Our scripture reading this morning is taken from Romans chapter 6, beginning with verse 16, read through 23. We're talking about our priorities in life. We really need to consider them and get all the priorities that the Lord wants us to have in His perspective, not our own. So, Paul talks about that as we will be looking, beginning with verse 16, Romans chapter 6, verse 16. Do you not know that when you present yourselves to someone as slaves for obedience, you are slaves of the one whom you obey, either of sin resulting in death, or of obedience resulting in righteousness? He says, Paul says in verse 17, but thanks be to God that though you were slaves of sin, you became obedient from the heart to that form of teaching to which you were committed. And having been freed from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. I am speaking in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. For just as you presented your members as slaves to impurity and to the lawlessness, resulting in further lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves to righteousness, resulting in sanctification. Sanctification means to be set apart unto righteousness. Verse 20, for when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. Therefore, what benefit were you then deriving from the things of which you are now ashamed? For the outcome of those things is death. But now, having been freed from sin and enslaved to God, and that enslaved means to be a servant of God, you derive your benefit resulting in the sanctification, and the outcome is eternal life. And then he closes this chapter with verse 23, which says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift or the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Resembles John 3:16, doesn't it? For God so loved the world. Many of you probably don't remember Haddon Robinson, a great scholar, pastor, preacher, had a lot of good insights with the Word of God and expression of words that helps us better understand the way life is. And when it comes to priorities in our life, and he points out in an article he wrote that one old recipe for rabbit started out with this injunction. First, catch the rabbit. Then Robinson says, the Apostle Paul knew how to put first things first. That's what we do when we establish priorities. We put the things that should be first place in their proper place. And this morning, I want to to offer some things to consider, for you to consider, for myself to consider, making a priority in the fruits of righteousness. And when you think about fruit, everybody likes fruit, right? And God likes fruit. That's why he spoke through Paul when he wrote the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians chapter 5. And the fruit of righteousness is all of those things plus many other things that we can speak of today and read about in God's Word. And righteousness means anything that is just, anything that is honest, anything that is true, anything that is right, and even go further than that, anything that is holy in the sight of God. So that's what we want to talk about this morning. And my question to you this morning, have you ever thought what God will say to you about priorities reflected by your life? Have you ever thought about that? What God will say to you, what he will say to me about priorities reflected in our life while we are here on this earth. I think it's a mistake to think that we are following Christ's priorities unless we are demonstrating the fruits of righteousness. Paul points out a valuable lesson to making wise choices based on God's priorities in this text here this morning. And he says in verse 16, and I kind of rearranged that from the New American Standard to Living Bible, a living translation. In verse 16 it says, "Don't you realize that you become the slave of whatever you choose to obey?" And the verse goes on to say, "You can be a slave to sin, which leads to death, or you can choose to obey God, which leads to righteous living." In the New American Standard it says, which leads to righteous living. So, what God will say about our priorities will clearly reflected in the quality and the quantity of the dedicated, of our dedicated lifestyle. The life that we live on a daily basis, what we go about doing on a daily basis, whether we are in church, out of church, wherever we are, should reflect who we are in Christ Jesus. General William Nelson, he was a Union general in the Civil War, and not many of us knew him. We only can read about him, right? But aren't you thankful that history or people have written down things that have occurred in history so that we can reflect on them? And even Jesus, even the Bible, and Jesus reflects on that. The Bible says that all of the things that happened in the past, in the histories of the pages of history, is for our benefit. The cloud of witnesses, as the Bible describes it, is for our benefit so that we won't practice the things that are wrong, but practice the things that are right in the sight of God. But General William Nelson was a Union general in the Civil War, and he was consumed with the battles in Kentucky when a brawl ended up in bringing where he ended up being shot in the chest. He had faced many battles, but the fatal blow came while he was relaxing, kind of like a downtime with his men, just relaxing, probably just chilling out. As a result, he was caught fully unprepared, and as the men ran up to the stairs to help him, the general had just one phrase. This is what he said. go get me a clergy. Go find me a clergy and bring them here. He says, I need to be baptized. He never had time as an adolescent or as a young man. He never had time as a private or after he became a general. And his wound did not stop or slow down the war. Everything around him was left virtually unchanged, except for the general's, guess what? His priorities. What was his priority? At that moment, he said, go get me a clergy. I need to be baptized. With only minutes left before he entered eternity, one thing that he cared about was preparing for eternity. He wanted to be baptized. 30 minutes later, after he was shot in the chest, 30 minutes, he was dead. You know, God can tell what our priorities are, the values, by the fruits in our life. See, you may profess good priorities, but are they reflected of what the Apostle Paul and Christ should display if they were in our own position? Paul gave Timothy great advice in Philippians chapter 4, verse 9, when he said, if you'd like to turn over there with me, Philippians chapter 4, verse 9. And this is some good advice that Paul, the Apostle Paul, gave Timothy. And you know what? In our day and time today, it is good, or it's important for us to pass on good suggestions or advice to our young people or someone that you are mentoring in your life. And I am so grateful for the mentoring that I received when I was a young fella, when I was a young man growing up. When you can see potential in a person, young people especially, as they are nurtured, as they are instructed in the fruits of righteousness, that it will take hold in their life. I am so grateful that things took hold in me. Some of the things I missed because I probably wasn't paying attention. We sometimes don't do that, do we? Always pay attention. But the good things that really latch onto our life, that we take in and we actually apply them. And that's what Paul is talking about here in Philippians chapter 4, verse 9. He says, Timothy, and he says it with urgency when he says, practice what you have learned and received. And where did he receive all these good instructions? Not only from Paul, but he was talking about his mother and grandmother, who took some time to set some priorities before him and said, you know, this is what is going to help you in life. The things of God is going to remain with you. So Paul is saying, Timothy, please pay attention and practice what you have learned and received and heard and seen in me. And he said, you know, I haven't always been the best role model. I haven't been the best person in my life. But since I had that miraculous change in my life, now I can see my purpose in life, and it is to serve the Almighty God. That's what Paul is saying to Timothy here. He said, what you have heard and seen in me, and model your way of living on it, and God of peace, which the God of peace is untroubled. It's undisturbed. And it says, it will be with you. The peace that passes all understanding will free you in life. Philippians 4:9. You need to write that verse down. You need to memorize that verse. Because if you ever come frustrated, depressed, under hardship, or whatever it might be, you just think about the God of peace that passes all understanding will give you rest. It will carry you through life. And that is what was so urgent about Paul saying, Timothy, practice this. What you know, what you've seen, what you've seen of me as a role model, what you have seen, what God has placed in your heart. See, if you want to enjoy the fruits of righteousness, choose to let God's priorities affect all of your commitments, all of your values, all of your goals. And I even go to the far and say all of your relationships. Because we all have relationships in this life. Some of them are good and some of them are not so good. And we need to evaluate that and prioritize those to what is going to be helpful to us. And if we can help pass around, along some good, righteous fruits to other people, then they too would be blessed because God will be working through you to help that person. So, secondly, Paul warns us to avoid any disconnection between the priorities that we profess and how we live. See, we're not careful. It's easy to allow a huge gap grow between what we say and the reality of the way we live our life. You ever thought about it that way? You know, it's one thing to say something, but it's the other is the way that we carry out our practice. As Paul was saying to Timothy, you practice these things, and it will show up in your lifestyle. It will show up what you really have in your heart. Do you really love the Lord with all of your heart? If you do, he said, then you will carry out the fruits of righteousness in the way that you live your life. See, the other words, it's your lifestyle. It's your lifestyle. See, it requires a teachable heart. Now, I've talked to a lot of employers or CEOs or people in high authority who are always looking for good people. And their number one thing is when they talk to someone across the table, they don't want somebody that knows everything or think they know everything, right? They want to know someone across the table that is teachable. That they come on board, they are teachable to the things that will help them grow or secure that company. Because you come in already knowing everything, you're not going to be a good employee, right? You need to be teachable. In order for us to be good, upstanding, righteous, producing Christians, we need to be teachable by the Word of God. We need to allow God to work through the Holy Spirit into our lives so we'll have a teachable heart. And that's what it requires for us, to allow God to correct us in the areas where our ideals do not match our actions. Right? The Lord will not judge us by what we profess about our priorities, our intentions. Instead, the Lord would judge us by what we do. You know, when people ask us, what are your priorities? We tend to tell them what we think they would like to hear, right? Or we talk in terms of what should be most important to us. So, look at Paul the Apostle as one whose lifestyle reflected the priorities that he taught. And they really did. Because he passed that on to Timothy when he said, practice, you know, whatever you've heard and what have you received, and reflect upon that. See, he focused on giving God glory through, look at all the things he was involved in once his heart was changed. He was involved in evangelism. He was involved in discipleship making. He was involved in teaching. He was involved in preaching. He was involved in starting churches, witnessing, caring for people. And how are we doing, or how are you doing in the areas of God's priorities in your own life? Now, God may not have called you to practice or do some of the things that are mentioned about Paul's life, but he has called each one of us in an area that we can minister to others or make a difference in people's lives, or even make a difference in our own life, that we will reflect what we have learned from the ground up, what we have taken in personally by reading God's Word and praying. See, sometimes we just need to ask the Lord for courage to make the changes that will help close the gap between God's ideal priorities and your or mine present lifestyle priorities. And thirdly, Paul teaches that most people will have to swim against relative or our fleshly priorities, or against the current, I might say. See, the vast majority of people will tend to go with the flow of the modern trends. And we see a lot of that today, don't we? Just go with the flow. Don't make any resistance. Sometimes we even just throw out the paddles and just drift, right? And still paddling against the current and going in the direction we need to go. See, most people want to live a normal existence. And few people want to be different or appear to oppose what the majority considers to be good in our day and time. And most of us want to fit in and feel a sense of acceptance. But is it good for us? We have to ask that question. Is this a priority that the Lord has laid upon my heart? Or is it something that I just want to do? Or is this something that I'm interested in? Or is it something I want to do to please someone else? See, Paul writes in Romans 12, verse 2, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind." And our mind needs renewing on a daily basis, doesn't it? It needs to be renewed so that we will have the perspective that the Lord Jesus Christ wants. See, no doubt Paul reminded the people, and I'm sure that Paul was well read and studied upon the Old Testament, because in Ezekiel chapter 33, Ezekiel is basically saying the same thing that as Paul is teaching us right here in chapter 6. Ezekiel taught that most people will just listen to godly priorities and express agreement with their lips. And sometimes that's what we do, isn't it? We agree or say something with our lips, but not let the change come within our own life. And that was what was happening in Ezekiel's day. They was expressing and saying things with their lips, but it wasn't being carried out in their lifestyle. And Ezekiel called them on it. And Paul, I'm sure, read about that, and now he's passing that on to all of us here today. Know what your priorities are in life. Is it the Lord? If this is true in your life, you know, Ask the Lord to help you to be more objective, aligning your thoughts, attitude, actions to His priorities. Paul urges us to avoid being slaves to greed, lust of power, position, and even to the point of what we would think of today as security. Bill McCartney retired as a head coach of the Colorado football team several years ago. It's been several years ago. And his reason for retirement was not because he was unsuccessful as a coach. Actually, he had been in the top 10 winning seasons in his career. And McCartney said that he was retiring because he wanted to reevaluate his priorities. See, he'd been probably been thinking about this. Now, here I'm a coach. I'm successful. I've met my goals in life as a coach. But I'm sure he was thinking, but what really counts other than just being a coach and being successful and having winning seasons? And you know what? It is good for each one of us, no matter how successful we are in what we do, is to reevaluate our life in God's perspective. Is all of this other stuff really important? And that's what McCartney was asking himself. Bill McCartney was asking himself, what is the real true priorities in my life at this very moment? He said, I am leaving coaching and I'm going to make a whole year to evaluate my priorities. Is God first? Is my family second? Is my job career third? That's what he was asking himself. And when that year was over, Bill McCartney had dedicated his life, talents to Christ, and focused his efforts into founding the Great Men's Renewal Gatherings, as we know today as what? Promise Keepers. Promise Keepers. He is a founding person of the Men's Gathering Promise Keepers, which is still going on today. How many of you men have been to the Promise Keepers? Okay. You know what I mean. What an impact. You see how God will work through one man who gets his priorities in order. God blessed him as a coach. Just like the Apostle Paul, he has other things in mind for our life when we get our life aligned with His. We are so blessed. We are so blessed to be what we are and who we are today. But see, there's something even greater that can take place in our life when we submit and yield to God's priority. See, God had a priority, didn't He? He had a number one priority in mind for every one of us when He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, into this world to die for our sins. What did verse 23, Romans 6, 23 say? For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is what? Eternal life. Eternal life. How many of you remember John Newton? You remember what John Newton did? He penned the words to Amazing Grace. He was a fine preacher and everything. And in his age, he got to the point that he couldn't remember a lot of the things that he had memorized scripture-wise and other things. But there's one thing that he never forgot. That God forgave him of his sins and gave him eternal life. And we, you know, everyone knows Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I was once lost, but now I'm found. Someone once said, "You are free to choose between two masters, but you are not free to adjust the consequences of your choice." Pretty good, right? Each of the two masters pays with his own kind of currency. The currency of sin, according to verse 23, is what? Death. And that is all you can expect or hope for in a life without God. Christ's currency is what? Eternal life. That's our security. New life with God that begins on earth and continues forever and ever and ever with God. And the question today is, what choice have you and I made? We who are born again from above has chosen Christ. But if you're here today and never made that decision, well, you can do that today. The best decision, the best priority decision, first of all, is to accept Christ as your Savior. And then after that, set your priorities and your goals on the true master of life, Jesus Christ. You can't go wrong there, can you? Can't go wrong. Just like Bill McCartney. Took him a while to figure it out. Takes a lot of us a long time to figure it out. But once we choose right, we never turn back. Straightforward to the goal line, eternal life. Father God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your blessings. Thank you for the message that we receive through your word. It's a blessing to understand the work of the Holy Spirit. And all we got to do is have receptive hearts. We praise you and we thank you, Lord, this morning that your Spirit is real and alive. And still offering salvation to anyone who will open up their heart to receive your Son, Jesus Christ, as Lord and Savior. Lord, this invitation is yours this morning. And I know your Holy Spirit is at work right here in this very place. The place we call your sanctuary. The house of prayer. The house of invitation that you offer. Guide our paths, our footsteps this morning. May we be willing to step out and make a decision for you. And make you the first priority in our life. And after that, the other ones will come easier. But we must make you first priority in our life. Lord, thank you for the saving power of your Holy Spirit. And we thank you in your precious Son, his precious name. Amen. We're going to stand and we're going to sing hymn number, I believe, 41. God is so good. He is good, isn't he? He is super good. And he wants to change your life this morning. And all we got to do is just open up and say, "Lord, I'm yours." Will you come this morning, make that decision that the Lord has been working with you, nudging you, prompting you, illuminating your heart. You come as we sing. God is so good.